Listener-supported St. Gabriel Catholic Radio AM 820 brings you The Seminarians, a dialogue with students from the Pontifical College Josephinum, produced by AM 820 to encourage and inspire vocations to the religious life. And now, The Seminarians.
Welcome to The Seminarian Show. I'm Brett Taylor from the Diocese of Charlotte. Joining me are Alfonso Gomez, also from the Diocese of Charlotte, and PJ Brandimarty from the Diocese of Columbus.
Hello.
Hello, Brett. How are you?
Nice to see you, Alfonso and PJ. Thank you for joining me. Today we are going to be talking about vocations and our vocation stories. Not so much our stories, but more the themes. But before we jump into that, let's have Alfonso Gomez lead us in prayer.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen.
Grant me, O merciful God, to desire eagerly, to investigate prudently, to acknowledge sincerely, and to fulfill perfectly those things that are pleasing to Thee, for the praise and glory of Thy holy name. O my God, order my life, and grant that I may know what Thou wilt have me to do, and grant that I may fulfill it as it is fitting and profitable to my soul. We ask this through Christ our Lord.
Amen.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Thank you for that prayer, Alfonso. That was very fitting for us talking about vocations today. As you can see, it really captured the theme of what a vocation is. So before we jump into the nitty-gritty about our own personal stories, one thing to keep in mind is, after Vatican II, the Church Fathers really set forth what is called the universal call to holiness, which is everyone is called to holiness, not just seminarians, not just priests, not just religious sisters, but everyone is called to share in that divine life with God. And ultimately, we are all called to be saints,
right?
Not just a select few of us. Mm-hmm. And now that seems like a very lofty goal and very, very hard to accomplish. I mean, how am I supposed to be a saint? And that's where the Church gives us these different personal vocations, the way that God has put in His life for you to be holy and how to grow in love of Him and develop that relationship. The Church has set forth four primary vocations after the Second Vatican Council. The most common one that we're all aware of, since we're all here, is marriage, where a man and a woman come together and give their lives and grow in holiness that way. Another way is the single life, where God is calling you to be single and grow in a relationship with Him, maybe by yourself, however that looks. The third one is religious life, being either a religious brother or sister, living in a religious community, and fulfilling their charism and their mission, whatever is set forth, that's going to be your way that you come to know, to love, and to serve God. And the fourth and final one, which is what we all believe that we are called to do, is to serve the people of God as priests of Jesus Christ, which is the fourth vocation is the priesthood. So there's always a lot of things that happen with the priesthood and how we discern that. That's kind of the insider's term of how one comes to know their own vocation. And there's a lot of common themes that we've noticed within our own stories. So we're going to turn it over to PJ now with what I saw in his was a reconversion to the Catholic faith. It's not something that we're not just born as priests where we come out and our mom's like, okay, well, we'll have you for 18 to 20 years and then you'll go be a priest. So have fun. It's nice knowing you, but really in our lives, we go through these ebbs and flows just like any people, because we are human. Right. And sometimes we kind of go away from the Church for a little bit and we have to be called back. So as I said, I want to hand this over to PJ for a little bit and just get his perspective on reconversion.
No, that's my vocation story is so weird because I was in seminary, like I was almost in seminary for a different diocese of Pittsburgh where I grew up.
Have you ever been to Pittsburgh?
Have I ever been? I can talk in Pittsburghese and that if that's what yous want.
Like, okay, you're a Flyers fan.
So yeah. You like Steelers, yeah.
You know, we don't need to bring the Flyers into a perfectly good conversation about the Holy Priesthood. No, but I grew up in Pittsburgh, and I thought about vocations a lot, to the point where I was talking to the director of vocations. I was filling out seminary application. I was all ready to go, and for one reason or another, it just didn't work out, and I ended up not going to seminary in Pittsburgh, and a strange thing happened. I kind of stopped going to church, and I kind of stopped believing. I didn't really stop believing.
So dramatic.
Yeah, no, it's I think what happened to me at the age of 23, 22,
Is that when you first applied? At 23?
No. I first applied at 19. Okay. So I guess around 19, 20, 21. I wasn't a rebellious child, so I think I had my rebellion phase a little bit late.
Right.
So most kids rebel at like 13, 14. I was rebelling at like 19 and 20.
Mm-hmm.
By that point, I was a full-grown adult with a grown-up job, and I didn't really have anybody to rebel against except God, so I guess that's how that manifested. I still called myself Catholic. I still went to church with my parents for Christmas and Easter, but that was pretty much it. So, didn't go to confession, definitely didn't go to mass, didn't pay any attention to the moral laws of the church. Not because I didn't want to, it was just so far from my mind
mm-hmm.
that it just wasn't part, but I still considered myself Catholic. I would still get in arguments with people and argue about the faith, which is weird because I had been like doing all these pre-seminary programs. So I knew a lot about the faith. I just, it was like you go home from work and you take off your work shirt.
Right.
And that's what it was for me. Whenever I get into these discussions, put on my Catholic shirt
mm-hmm.
and have them, and then I'd take it off. So
it was in your head, but not in your heart.
Exactly. Yeah. Over time, as I grew up and matured, I had everything I ever wanted. I had money. I had just personal success in every measurable way, given my goals. But I still wasn't happy. And ironically enough, it's Catholic Radio that made me start going to church again, because I kept seeing all these bumper stickers. It was 1580 back then, but I like to call it the AM 820 Mafia.
Showing his age there.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Back in the day when there was a 1-5 in front of the radio station. But no, it's being able to, as an adult, come and appreciate what the church has to offer was a vital part. And it was a very, very short time for me. From starting to go to mass again, a matter of weeks, a matter of 10 to 15 weeks. So a matter of a couple months before I was really starting to feel again, like I have to go to seminary, because I'm supposed to be a priest. And here we are 6 years into the process. And, despite things I miss about the life that I used to have, my old job, and despite frustrations, I'm very happy, and I'm very pleased that I'm going to be ordained to the diaconate very, very soon. So
on the day of
May the 4th is the I don't have a call to orders yet, so Bishop, I apologize if I'm being presumptuous, but
a really cool day, by the way.
Yeah, indeed. I'm also a Star Wars nerd, so May the 4th is a very important day for all Star Wars geeks.
Indeed.
It's Star Wars Day. May the 4th be with you. And
with your spirit.
And with your spirit, yes. So there's so much irony that I will be committing to celibacy on May the 4th, God willing,
the National Celibacy Day.
Absolutely. I've already committed to celibacy with my extensive knowledge of Star Wars and Star Trek.
That's awesome. I have a quick question, PJ.
Yeah.
So what made you like first think about the priesthood when you were 19, or what was your desire? Why did you want to go in when you were 19?
You know, I don't, it was always there. It was just really? Always one of those things. Okay. I come from a very, very Catholic family, old school Italian, Pittsburgh Italian. And you know, I used to play mass when I was little. I put on my dad's white t-shirt and pretend it was a chasuble and flatten out a piece of Wonder Bread and pretend to offer mass. I was like 4 years old, so it was not a impediment to orders.
Again, not incurring impediments on this show.
Indeed. I think that should be the motto of this show.
The name of our show.
Yeah,
it should.
No canonical impediments.
It's kind of the theme for third theology.
I apologize to our listeners. That's a little inside joke, very, very technical term. But
so
constant disclaimer.
You're yes. listening to The Seminarian Show on St. Gabriel Catholic Radio, AM 820. You can hear the show every Tuesday at noon and Sunday at 1 p.m. and in the audio archives at stgabrielradio.com. I'm Britt Taylor from the Diocese of Charlotte. Joining me are Alfonso Gomez, also from the Diocese of Charlotte, and P.J. Brandomarty from the Diocese of Columbus. we're currently talking about vocations and the different themes that we have. PJ was just enlightening us with the kind of reconversion he had in his life. And I know that was one of the themes that jumped out from my own personal vocation story as well. I did a four-year college degree at NC State University, go Wolfpack, which is very frustrating, by the way, being up here, having a red shirt that says State, and I get really excited thinking it's, oh my gosh, it's NC State. And then you look closer and it's Ohio State. So for the past 5 years, that's been very confusing, and I'm still getting used to that. But similar to PJ, when he was experiencing the different things that Pittsburgh had to offer, when I was in college, I was very much, the faith was in my head. I grew up Catholic. I went to all the way from second grade all the way through high school as I had a Catholic school, went to Sunday Mass. I was an altar server, basically the whole nine yards of a little man growing up in North Carolina being Catholic. But it was in my head. It wasn't in my heart. So it was very easy for me when I got into the four-year degree that I was able to find other things that I thought would be substitutes for my religion. Mm-hmm. Got very involved with different service groups, nonprofits. I joined a fraternity. All these different things were my way of, okay, well, they're still going to be getting me closer to God. I'm still helping my fellow man. I worked for a nonprofit where we were packaging meals for, and I was responsible for packaging over 1 million meals at my events. And I thought, oh yeah, of course, that's definitely doing God's work. And it is. Mm-hmm. But there was always this sense of longing, this sense of, I wanted something more. And that really came to the forefront of my mind when I was applying at the end of my time for full-time jobs. I was applying for that nonprofit. I was only working part-time. I applied to go full-time. But there just wasn't something right about it. My heart just wasn't settled. And it wasn't until I started to apply for seminary that I realized, okay, this is why. It's because I'm called to something deeper. And that's ultimately what a vocation is. Whether you're called to be married, it's not just that you love this man or this woman and you want to spend the rest of your life with them because, hey, they're a cool guy or a cool girl. It's you want to marry them because you want to enter into a deeper relationship with God through your relationship with this person. Mm-hmm. That's ultimately what a vocation is about. It's going out of yourself to help the other. And so Alfonso really said that when he was in college, apologetics and really trying to help his fellow man through that route was really what brought the faith alive in his own heart. And so Alfonso, if you could describe that experience to us for a little bit.
Yeah, that's right, Britt. So really my senior year of high school, I just started to encounter a lot of opposition to the faith. And I had I wanted to give a response because I loved my faith. I grew up in a very Catholic home. My family's from southern Mexico, so we have tons of Catholic traditions throughout the year. And so I started to look for the answers of the questions that people were confronting me with, you know, about Mary, the Pope, you know, devotions and things like that, the sacraments. And I came across, you know, apologetics. And I thought to myself, you know, I grew up in a very Catholic home, and I don't know the answer to these questions. So there are other Catholics out there who also don't know the answer to these questions. So my immediate reaction after learning the answer to those questions was to teach. And so I immediately started teaching at my home parish, First Communicants. After that, when I went to college, I was teaching confirmation students, which was amazing because they interact with the material in a much more engaging way. With First Communicants at that age, they're trying to, you know, memorize the Ten Commandments and the sacraments.
Still trying for me.
That's right. Just like a good Catholic. and so with the confirmation students, they're asking really intense questions. And so they're integrating the material in a much more profound way. And after that, I just, you know, started getting involved in campus ministry. And I realized I was spending so much more time in church than I was in my engineering lab and doing my assignments for my major. And I became very disinterested. I was a civil engineering major at UNC Charlotte, the University of North Carolina at Charlotte. And so I thought, well, maybe still, you know, having in mind marriage, I'm just going to change my major and I'm going to pursue something a little bit more self-giving. Mm-hmm. And so I switched over to political science, and I had the purpose of going to law school, and I wanted to become an immigration lawyer to help out families to be able to stay together and try to regularize their situation here in America. After a while, I just became I guess what you were saying, dissatisfied with this level of service. And I wanted something more, like a deeper way to serve the Lord. And my desire and my action was still serving the church and remaining constant there. And so I came to this crossroads where I was like, well, I can either, you know, investigate this deeper desire in my heart to serve the Lord, or I can, you know, kind of turn the other way and seek my own, you know, ambitions. And I'm really glad I did. I'm really glad I chose to go into seminary, because it's been 4 years now that I've been in formation, and they've come with really great moments. I've met some of my best friends in seminary. And the formation that I've received is stupendous, especially in the intellectual level. Having begun researching for and seeking truth, and still, you know, being nourished every day in truth with our liturgies, our prayer life, but also our classes. You know, it's such a, I think, a way how providence works, you know, in our lives, when you look retrospectively to how God has, you know, how God has moved my heart, and in a sense is fulfilling what I was desiring when I was in college.
So you were saying looking retrospectively, and of course it's very easy for us here, all three of us, to look retrospectively at our own vocation story and look at it and, well, what do we want to present to the public here on the radio? Well, we presented in such a way where it seems like everything was great, but I can assure you it wasn't all sunshines and rainbows and ponies and MySpace.com or whatever you want to say.
What a day to, you can tell when we went into seminary, because we still were referencing MySpace. It's been a while.
But there was definitely our share of anxieties within our vocation story and our journey. It's really more of a journey than a story. Mm-hmm. But either one of you guys, you want to talk about some anxieties, maybe PJ?
Oh. So one of the, there are a lot of ways that guys enter seminary. The three most common ways are right out of high school, right after college, or after working for a fair amount of time in
the
real
world.
2 to 4 years,
probably. Yeah.
Those are the most common. I don't fall into any of those, because I was working for almost 6 or 7 years in the real world. And, you know, I was an adult, and that means I had adult things. I had a house. I had a car. I had the debt that goes along with those things. I had credit cards. I had a dog. I had roommates that were, like, we were all really good friends, and we were dependent upon each other to, you know, we had a 3-bedroom townhouse, which is not something you can just easily walk away from. So there was a lot of anxiety as I made the decision, really, to not only to pursue a religious vocation, but to be a seminarian for the Diocese of Columbus, probably around 2010. It wasn't until August of 2012 I was able to make that a reality, and it was really frustrating, because I had gotten to a point where I wanted to fulfill this religious vocation. I wanted to be in the seminary, but at the same time, I have to go to work every day. And I worked in the technology industry, and I can assure you, the technology industry is not a beacon for people who are religious. Mm-hmm. It's generally going to be a little bit more, I don't know how I want to say that. People always respected what I did.
Conflicting.
But it was definitely conflicting. So I'm working with technology. I was in sales. I was in sales and marketing. And it was hard to go to work some days, because I wanted to be telling people about, I would run into people who I knew in my heart that they could use the gospel. And at the same time, I'm a professional doing a job, and I am not allowed to go to my customers and tell them about the joy that is the gospel.
Right.
And that was really frustrating. And I would say that, and just the real world necessity of tying down your secular life before you can go to seminary. I had to solve a lot of problems. I had to find a home for my dog. Luckily, my best friend from high school has got him, so he's got a good home. But I had to find a home for my dog because you can't bring your dog to seminary. I had to work it out with my roommates so that when the lease was up, I didn't want to put them in a bad position. So we had to arrange all this. I had to pay off my car. I had to pay off most of my student loans. So that meant for the last year, my lifestyle shut down dramatically. In addition, being a young 20-something, pretty successful business person, I say pretty successful, modestly successful, we'll say. But I mean, I had everything I wanted, so it was very difficult for me. I wasn't able to date at all because I couldn't do that in good conscience, because I knew I was called to the priesthood. I knew I was called to the seminary. So what's the purpose of dating? The purpose of dating is to form a romantic relationship to see if there's a possibility that marriage could ensue. Mm-hmm. Well, I wasn't able to do that at all. So my friends are going out and they're they're dating, and that essentially shut down my social life for the last year and a half. I wasn't able to do anything, and which I couldn't anyway, because I had to direct all my money to paying stuff off. So there was a lot of anxiety, and it was definitely a time where Satan was kind of just poking me, going, "Look, you can get married and please God. You don't have to be a priest."
Right.
So,
what about you, Alfonso?
I think mine are a little bit more existential. I had three main stumbling blocks that I had to overcome to be able to commit to entering seminary. The first one is, as a son of an immigrant, my parents immigrated to this country so that I could be successful and have a profession.
Mm-hmm.
And so the reality of me going to the university and saying no to a profession and then entering seminary was something that was kind of bearing on my conscience.
Like you were letting him down almost?
Right. And so like their sacrifices were for naught, you know? Mm-hmm. So that was one big thing. The other one was the fear of being alone, because to me, a priest, when he gets old, because of celibacy, I just imagined him being alone in a rectory with no one to look after him or to be there for him. And then the third one is really the fear of doing the opposite of what a priest should do. And instead of being a bridge to lead others to Christ, to be an obstacle, keeping people away from Christ. But it's so awesome, really, how generous our Lord is, because each of those three stumbling blocks, our Lord has just, you know, with so much effectiveness, just gone right through them. Because like my first year, there was a huge emphasis in our formation about we're called to be holy and not successful. That's a quote from Mother Teresa, Saint Mother Teresa. And in regards to being alone, I mean, like I said, I have found the best friends that I think I've ever had in my whole life at seminary. And just because, you know, our friendship is founded upon Christ.
Right.
And because he's the transcendent and the infinite, I mean, that's just the best way. And then the last one, I mean, my being a seminarian has changed not only myself, but only others around me. I can tell my family's prayer life is much more, it has deepened in a greater sense, which is pretty remarkable. So I don't think me being in seminary has become a stumbling block for other people, but instead, really, it's been pretty cool to see how God has used me as an instrument to I guess radiate Christ's presence to other people. So right. those are the things that I had to deal with.
Yeah, there was definitely some anxieties in my life as well. It wasn't just, you know what, I don't want to work for this job. I'd rather go to seminary, and then I was done. I mean, even within seminary, it wasn't as easy as, well, I'm in seminary now, I'm going to be a priest. But in the interest of time, really, the one that really stuck out to me was the entire time I was thinking, why me? Why are you calling me? There's no way. I know the things I'd done in my life. I know my background and really how I had turned my back on our Lord throughout my college years. And so I was thinking, there's no way that I could be called to so great a vocation like the priesthood. And it really wasn't until probably halfway through T1 year, our first year of theology, so 3 years into the formation, where I really settled down and said, well, why not me? And really committed myself to the studies, to everything, and really just gave myself over to the Lord. And that's really ultimately what these vocations are calling us to do, is to give ourselves our lives, that we're not here for our own benefit. We're not here to accrue money or to have 27 children or to do all these things. Ultimately, we are here to serve the Lord, and He puts these vocations in our lives so that we can best serve the Lord. And so we're running a little short on time. So what we're going to do, I think we're actually going to revisit this topic. I know I still have a couple of things I would like to talk about, and I'm sure
I do.
Y'all's vocation stories are not exhausted throughout this one short show. So if the time permits, we'll come back and we'll do another show on vocations and maybe get a little bit more into the nitty-gritty details about our own personal lives. Not so much so, because we are sharing this on a radio that covers a large portion of Ohio. So we're not going to give
internal
out.
Forum.
That's a bigger concern, I think, for me than it is for you guys.
But I will gladly give out Alfonso Gomez's social security number, credit cards, and all that information.
Please don't.
Didn't a couple companies already do that this month?
This is very true, but I will warn you, there's not much information on there and not much money. So thank you for joining us today for today's Seminarian Show. You can hear the show every Tuesday at noon and Sunday at 1 p.m. and in the audio archives at stgabrielradio.com. Let's close with a prayer, too, real quick. If you can close us in a prayer.
Indeed. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Almighty, all-powerful, and ever-living God, You call us each to a unique vocation. Allow us, if we are searching for our vocation, to know it, and allow those who You have called to a vocation to perform it well. Make married couples more in love with each other and their families. Make priests more in love with their vocation. And make all of us more in love with You. Amen.
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 In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.
The Seminarians is a production of listener-supported St. Gabriel Catholic Radio, AM 820. Archives of the Seminarians and all of our locally produced programs are available at stgabrielradio.com.